The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Now, I want to talk to you because you're obviously upset.
Permission is granted.
Glad I met you. I'm glad I met you, James.
I was not considering the fact that I, in fact, am the third man, capital T, capital D, capital M. But I am.
I want to show you something.
Let's take off all our clothes.
And maybe that's true. And that's what I said.
That's how we used to sing it. I'm sorry. This is the way we used to sing it. It's the way you should sing it from now on.
But look at this. What is this?
I hate to put a negative spin on this, because it's great to drink, and everyone loves to drink.
They say you should not drink alcohol when it's so hot.
And I've talked about this, too, in the past, when I talked about soccer moms.
That was so good.
No, I didn't talk about soccer moms.
Excuse me for saying it. It's not even my place to say it.
I talked about soccer moms who became roller derby moms. And don't...
It was the old stuff.
And don't you think I haven't stopped. I have given up on the roller derby thing. Let's just get Pi Kim on the phone.
Wait. Where are the phones?
They took the phones.
Huh? We're not using Skype. Tonight, today, this afternoon.
You're such a hero. You're so rich. How come you're coming down here and waste your time with such a bunch of bums?
But let's not get into that. Let's not talk about me. Even though it is all about me. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about Nancy.
What did I learn as a kid on Western? You don't sell a guy one car.
But I believe that, you know, we could have a lot more fun. I'm not trying to be politically correct here either.
So I don't know, do I?
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Do what you got to do if you're a neo-postmodernist, and I know you are.
What is that?
Look, just go, Jay, the best thing to do is to just Google the gal.
Let's talk about something important.
I really am when it comes to this thing.
Let's talk about something important.
Just a whole nother angle just took place in my head.
Put that coffee down.
But let's forget about drugs and medicine. Let's talk about sex.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
That's going to be happening. I got some things to cover before we get there. Dirty Things Get Stiff by Frank Cotolo.
It may mean something to you. It may not. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Does that mean that if you dirty things stand, dirty things get stiff?
Teardrops on my guitar.
My pretty.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
Now, back to the Bullwinkle Show.
And here, with his bird's eye view and a brain to match, is Mr. Know-It-All.
Our subject for today is how to be a beatnik. Some people think the beatnik is merely a bum with sunglasses, but he is more than that, though not much. The first step in becoming a beatnik is to grow a beard. This can be a long process, particularly if you're a girl. Clothing-wise, we should remember this important rule. The well-dressed beatnik is seldom meatnik. Beatniks hang out in unemployment lines, health food stores, but most of all, in coffee houses. Beatnik joints have lots of atmosphere, but it's usually too dark to see it.
Coffee, tea, or goat's milk?
Coffee, I guess.
Coffee we got. What kind?
Let's see. Espresso, 75 cents. Cappuccino, 85. Sanko, 50. Refill, 25. Think I'll have some that say refill.
Why don't you try Cafe Minuto?
Cafe Minuto? What's that?
Instant coffee. Special for you, I make with dirty water. How is?
Terrible.
Good. should taste bad to last drop.
The beatnik is often fond of reading poetry to jazz, thusly. Mary had a swinging lamb. He followed her to school. She hawked his wool for a bongo drum, and man, that lamb was cool.
Thank you, Mr. Know-it-all.
And now for an encore.
That's Scatola over there, you know what I mean?
Get a good grip on yourself and anything else you'd like to grasp at the moment. It's once again time for live Cthulhu Chronicles. In the heat of the moment, of course, we are here, and I am here, the godfather of internet radio, the difficult historian, the bard of broadcasting, the vegetable man, the third man, looking over your shoulder, and the only man who can get you through the next 2 hours alive, or at least without getting really ill. So hang in there, because what you wanted is what you'll get. It's night. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. It's me and my biggest fan. Hear it? Me and my biggest fan right here in the sweltering of the summer, Y2K plus 18. It's been and it is continuing to be a tough season to get yourself through. And they keep telling me, don't do this, don't do that, because you're an older man now. Stay in, stay cool, drink plenty of liquids, and stay in bed. Don't tell me stay in bed. That's when you're sick. I'm not sick. Thank goodness I'm not sick. I'm still here. I'm just like the Incredible Shrinking Man. I'm still here. Only I get older, he gets smaller. So you go figure out the infinitesimal. It's up to you. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Wake up, it's night. It's never been darker, indeed, even though it gets darker later. And that actually has a metaphoric, if there is such a word, metaphoric. You can't just make make verbs out of adverbs and nouns out of verb nouns and adjectives. You can't do that. It is as a metaphor. The later it gets, the better it looks. It's not that one. It's later than you think. You want to sing the song together? I don't know. I go through so much every time I'm on anymore. And it's one of the things I'm going to do on this show to make everybody who wanted this feel like this is what they want. To feel like I've satisfied their every need. But they're every need, right? Well, listening here, I am the only person can get you through this show 2 hours, because then there's nothing you can do. No one else is going to get you through these 2 hours on this, the original all talk interweb cyber show, Cthulhu Chronicles, which is not about Cthulhu, but it's going to be a bit about him. Said I in the third person. Metaphoric? What did I say? Metaphoric? That is like, it's not even a good word. It's a metaphor.
Well, you could replenish your precious bodily fluids. Of course, that is the most important thing you do at this time if you're in a warm territory. Now, there are people not in a warm territory. People down under who are listening to this in the it's kind of afternoon, right? It would be 12 hours from now if you're listening live. And remember, you don't have to listen live because you might be listening on one of the rebroadcasts. But it always sounds live because I don't do anything to make it sound like it's produced. It's just here. It would be, let me see this now. Let me do the math. If it's 14 hours, wait a second, I don't think it's 14 hours from New York. I remember a fellow who used to, when I was living in L.A., I remember a fellow who used to commute to Australia from Los Angeles. I think that's 14 to 20 hours. I didn't look it up, but I remember it being a massive disparity in time, right? To go from into the Western Hemisphere. Is that the Western, you know, down under is the Western Hemisphere or the Eastern Hemisphere? Well, it's, anyway, it's way out there. From Los Angeles, that's a heck of a ride. If you don't know how to sleep on planes and relax yourself, and this guy was weird. My girlfriend and I used to sit by the pool where I live. And that's where we met this guy. And he, his eyes were just glazed. And I don't know, red. They were glazed. And when we got to talking to him, because I think he started to talk to us. I don't think we started to talk to him. There weren't many people by the pool. It was one of the, you know, I used to live in this, you know, kind of a, not a penthouse, but in this area that was, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that it had a pool. The place where a lot of people lived had a pool. I just saw a lightning bug. They're back. That's how, you know, it's deep, deep, deep summer. When those lightning bugs are out. Where do they go in the winter? I don't know. I'm not an entomologist. I said to myself, carefully. And this guy told us, he said, and I didn't mention that his eyes looked glazed or whatever. He just said, I'm just back from Australia. I don't remember. And I don't think he had an Australian accent or he had part of an Australian accent. But he sold things, and for some reason or another, in order to do this job that he had, which was selling things, I don't know what things he sold, he had to travel twice a week, maybe, which is a long time. Twice, many times, when you're talking about that kind of a flight. 20 hours? I didn't, you look it up. You go to your, write it down in your book, your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. If you don't have one, better get one soon. You won't be able to fill it up. Hint, hint. And you will listen, you'll write it down, find out, because you go to any search engine, put in time difference, or flight time difference between Los Angeles and down under. I recently figured out, I didn't do it in my head, I looked it up. You do it. You know, there is a way of doing it. If you know time zones, you can figure out the plane time, the flying time. There's some kind of equation you can figure that out. But maybe you don't want to, maybe you get something else to do. And I would understand that if that was true. But this guy used to fly, and let's just say, but I'm sure it's like I'm 5 hours off. So let's say it was 15 hours. Let's say it's 10 hours. So 10 hours from now, you know, it's going to be morning. It's going to be morning in Brisbane. Which is what the show is called, Down Under. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, it's me, Frank Cotolo. Time for, let me do an opening for them if they're listening, okay? I should play Waltzing Matilda or something, right, in the background. And let me open the show for people in Australia. Just, Down Under. Let me get myself, I'm gonna rip that. I got this fan going, so let me get another, thing up here, and then we'll do that. Just for you people who are listening in Brisbane and Christianville? No, what is it? Christianton? Let me find out here. I'm going to write in Australian National Anthem. Okay, this should be it. And without the instrumental. Yeah, that's what I want. Australian National Anthem instrumental. I believe it's Waltzing Matilda. I heard, is it an instrumental? Yeah, this is it. It's only 55 seconds. Here we go. Good morning, Australia. Once again, it's time for Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, and I'm glad and happy and embodied to be here and open up your day. What day? Well, where you are right now, I believe it's the 13th of July, and it's getting cold. Watch for the weather. Winter's here. Better dress aptly. Good morning, Australia. Welcome to my show. Yes, Australasia, too, because you can hear me in New Zealand. Yes, and Tasmania. What a morning for all of us. Okay, so that opens the show for you people in Australasia. I love to call it Australasia, which consists of three countries, New Zealand, Australia, and Tasmania. See, you learn things here on Cotolo Chronicles. And good morning. So you guys get your coffee, your tea. I know you drink a lot of tea because you got all that British influence. Do that. Now, if you were to go west of that, and you're listening west of that, east of Australia, northeast, I would guess, because when you go to China, it's hard to believe that the Orient is so close to Australasia, because you don't get those cultures and put them together with any kind of similarity. I don't. Maybe you do. I say you don't, like I know you don't, but you can, and maybe you do or don't. But if you go a little bit north, let's see, I'm doing the map in my head. I'm picturing the map in my head to do this. And I would go to up a little higher, and then we'll open it for our friends. Although I cannot speak Russian. I gotta speak Russian everywhere, don't they? In the Ukraine, they speak Russia. I knew some people from the Ukraine, and there are still people from the Ukraine here in the area where I broadcast. So I just thought about that one lovely young girl from the Ukraine. But anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, let's open up the show for those people in the Ukraine. They are probably in the same, almost the same time zone. Maybe a cup, could they be even earlier? Let's just say it's very early in the morning. Okay? Here we go. Good morning, my friends and comrades of the Soviet Union. Although the song is called Midnight in Moscow, the night is over and morning has approached. So let's lift that iron curtain and say helloski to you. And of course, we'll have the news. Our special newscaster, Boris Badenov, the weather and everything else. And we have the band here. Let's hear it for him. My name is Frank Katolisk. And good morning, Moscow! Yeah, come on, everybody. This is a little wake up music, baby. Babesk? Babesk? I don't know, what would I call them? Yes, nobody can stop you from listening to the internet. Not even you guys. It's according to where you're putting your feelings. This is Cotolo's Chronicles. I can't, how do you say that in there? I would have turned it up, but I like the song so much. We'll just keep going. What else do we got here this morning for you Moscowians? I'll call the Moscowians right here in the groove with me, Franksky. I'll just call myself Franksky. You call me Franksky too. Hey, get that morning borscht ready. I love borscht, by the way. Get that morning borscht. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Nothing says Moscow like a good old jazz band. Jazz man, jazz man. Good morning, Moscow. So the point is that they're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, you know, like all around the world. And they always have been. And the first people to find Cotolo Chronicles in this particular weird, in this weird and one time unheard of arena of cyber broadcasting were the people of Spain. And in Madrid, I've told this. I'm not going to tell you that I've told stories before. I'm just going to tell you the stories again. If you hadn't heard it, then you're not hearing it again. Obviously, I've been through hundreds of stories, but I'm not going to do the story of this show. What I'm going to do is tell you, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, and now you're listening to it all over the world. Well, not all over. I didn't do my Japanese open, and that was good, too. We had a big, you know, the Yokohama Hamayoka Company supported the communications of guests to this show for years. And then, I don't know what happened to him. But the point is, wake up, it's night. And the godfather of internet radio, the man who has been here from the beginning, is me. Now, let me tell you about some stuff that's going to be happening as the summer ensues. The ensuing summer. And then I'll tell you what's going on with this show. How about that? And I got one or two things that are kind of like commercials in a sense, but I want to let you know about them. I've heard from Erwin Zucker, the fabulous promotion person who brought us good old Shelley Cohen a couple of weeks ago. Olympia, Olivia, because when I go Ola, and I'm going to mention a woman, Ola, I don't think of Olympia, I think of Olivia, who is a wonderful woman when I was younger, who I went with one time. Olivia, who never would have heard this program anyway, but that's a whole other story. But you're going to hear some stories. Anyway, Olympia Lapointe is a rocket scientist. She is literally a rocket scientist. That's what she does and has done. She's written books and I guess done a whole bunch of things that have to do with outer space and rockets. Getting into outer space and getting back, because if you go, you want to do that. You want to come back. Although some things don't come back, you know, those satellites that keep going. There's ones out there now, just keep going. We have no idea what's going to happen to them. Maybe they'll meet some kind of life form and procreate. Who knows? There's an idea for a science fiction thing. You people better get started on that story right now. But Olympia couldn't be here tonight because she's teaching a class. And I don't know why she's not teaching a class. Hey, I sound like Chico that time. I don't know why she's not teaching a class next week at this time, but she is not. So she'll be here. She'll be here. I hope. She's got Skype too, so I don't have to worry about the phone. And you know how much problems I have with that. And then a woman, again, through Mr. Zucker, tells me about a woman. There's an actress, if you look her up on the International Movie Database, which would be IMDb in any language, you could find a lady who was an actress. Her name was Joy Lansing. And they spell that Joy, J-O-I, not J-O-Y. J-O-I Lansing, L-A-N-S-I-N-G. I don't even think there's a D. It's not Lansing, but Lansing. And you might, if you watch Turner Classic Movies or you're a film historian, you will notice her face and remember her face, and you will say recognize her face, which is the same as notice and recognizes, right? So Joy Lansing was an actress. Now, she can't be on because she's dead, and although we have great communications now, Skype doesn't go that far, regardless of what Marla tells us. How about that, Marla? Isn't she a darling? Do you go to Marla and find out how your angels are doing? You can get the archive of Marla Martinson and anything else that goes on at juicedtalk.com. Stick anything in as it comes along, just telling you exactly what's happening, even if I have to jump aside from the direct path. What was the direct path? Oh, yes. We're going to go off the beaten path, too, in a second. Isn't that funny how that worked? Yes, very funny. Joy Lansing's final years, as I have heard, lived. She lived with a woman, and a woman was her mate, her partner, or whatever you call same-sex people. But at that time, of course, there was nothing legal about it. And there soon may never be anything legal again in certain countries, but that's another story, and I'm not going to talk about that story if it develops into a story. Joy Lansing was an actress, a beautiful actress. She had a woman mate, I hear, wrote a book, according to Mr. Zucker. And we're going to talk to her about that book and what it was like to have a same-sex relationship in the days when it was not necessarily, what am I talking about necessarily? You just, you know, you had to do it in secret, or you had to have so much money that you couldn't worry about anybody doing anything to you because you had a same-sex relationship. So this lady, whose name I do not have in front of me right now, who wrote this book about her and Joy Lansing, that's going to be fascinating because, you know, I don't have to tell you because you've been with this show forever, haven't you? Should you be? You should be. You should go listen to those archives. I hope that she'll be on the week after that. And again, we're fighting the heat. So sometimes you're going to hear, you're going to hear a repeat, an old show. And that's why I'm going to get into this right now, because even though this is a new show, we're going to have, not just this show, but a show from another show of me. Okay. So anyway, there's that. That will be happening along with other things that might pop up in the meantime. Now, I do want to mention this because I always tell you about the books. You know that blurb.com, you don't know this if you don't know it or you don't remember it. I'm telling you, I'm reminding you, I'm urging you, when I do talk about my own books, not just the books I sell here from guests like Charles Dennis, like The Artist D, like Jonathan Geffner. Did he write a book? No, it's a movie. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Because you could go to the archives, find out all the people who've written books who've been on here. That's not the point. Here's the point. Blurb.com only sells, doesn't only sell, it has thousands of books it sells, but as far as Frank Cotullo is concerned, it only sells the two volumes known as Molotov Memoirs and its sequel, More Molotov Memoirs. To me, aside from, I think they're wonderfully humorous stories and intelligently written, and they are the closest thing to the truth that I could come to when talking about my life. That what makes them special to me is the artwork and the design of the books. Even when you buy them digitally, you will get the basic design and the artwork of T. Stephen Gesick. Now, the other day I was talking to T. Stephen Gesick's wife, the lovely and longtime friend of mine, production assistant director, and any number of things done in movies, Ms. Peggy Robinson. Peggy Jean Robinson, who, of course, is the co-author of the screenplay of my book, License to Skill, that you can get on Amazon, okay? But on blurb.com, the Molotov Memoirs duo is designed, and the artwork inside of it for every story and what have you, done by T. Stephen Gesick, who I've told you before, and who's been on the show once or twice. I've told you before, has done many different Hollywood art design, Hollywood TV. He's art design and everything that goes along with that. You remember, I told you, Tosh.10, he was originally on that staff, and he has worked on other shows. Well, currently working on a show that's very popular, and I've just found this out, and I'm going to relay it to you. Maybe you watch this show already if you're one of the people who enjoys those Netflix or Hulu flicks or Block flicks and all those other things, shows, the series that are on those particular streaming things. It's called Mindhunter. I don't know if it's, I think it's Netflix or it's, yes, it's Netflix, I think. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's Stars or HBO. I'm not sure, but you're sure, because if I say Mindhunter as a TV show, you know that series, because you know it, because you watch it. T. Stephen Gesick, the man responsible for designing and the artwork in my books, Molotov Memoirs and More Molotov Memoirs, is the new art director. I believe that's what Peggy said. He just got a raise in a raise, and we get a raise in position and a raise. I guess you get a raise in money when a raise in position. That's what Hollywood's all about, isn't it? So T. Stephen Gessick, if you're watching Mindhunter, look for his name on the credits. Say hi for me. That's like you say while you're watching it. I don't know. I haven't seen it, and I don't have the time, and I'm not into those type of things. And until I'm getting tons of dollars from something like that, then I'm not going to be. All right, let's. Anyway, God bless you, Stephen. You know how much I love T. Stephen. Working out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So you go get Molotov Memoirs, and you're getting, you know, T. Stephen. He has not, you know, Steph has not done artwork for other people's books, no less special, just special. This is so special. And you get it when you buy them, and buy the digitals. Don't buy the big ones. And now if you live anywhere, if you're anywhere in Pittsburgh or you're around the place, where they shoot this darn thing, cause he'll be there, I think, through December or until December. Cause they're shooting out there, and apparently, I don't know their schedule or what have you, but. You know, maybe you can buy the analog book, because you can buy both of those books in analog. What I mean is you can buy the hard copy. You can buy the hard copy, and then you could hunt him down. Mindhunter. Hunt him down with your name, with your, hunt him. Hunt him with your mind. Find T. Stephen Gessick there and have him autograph the book. And I'm telling you, if you do that, you're going to have something worth a couple of bucks, maybe more. Than a couple of bucks as 2018 goes into its second half and into 2019. Whoa, Y2Ks are getting thick with numbers. So there's that. I just wanted to mention that too. Now, I have told you, and I've told everyone, over the past few months, that we have been asking and getting responses for people who want to hear things that were on this show long before they knew this show existed. And that's possible because we've changed audiences year after year after year. And since we've been on for 2 decades, that's right there. That could be 3 generations. Did I say that? 3 generations worth of people. Now, one of the things, so I do have something from a show that has been requested, and I don't know if I could play that, the whole part of that show. I mean, the guts of that show, because I've already talked to you for 35, 40 minutes. And I had to get out of here, after the 2 hours. I'm the only one who can get you out of here. Otherwise you'd be stuck here forever. It's kind of like, well, it's like that thing, you know, well, you'd be stuck in a box somewhere, stuck in a veritable cyber prison. Sorry, just moved away there with my imagination. But for those of you listening on the live stream, that means, of course, at 11 o'clock, Savino Veritas will be here right after this show. So if you're listening live, that's fine. If you're listening on another station that plays Savino Veritas, then Savino Veritas will be on after me. If you're not, I don't know what to tell you. Whatever's on the local station here. And then you can get Savino Veritas if you want, and then play them behind me if you download or listen or stream it at Juiced Talk. All of this stuff works out in the end. It all comes out in the wash. Through the years, though, also has been asked of me was, what about me? Now, I've never, and I didn't do this show. One of the conditions I did this show was not to talk about me, not to push my products or anything I have. Although I've used this show to do that. And here and there I have performed on this show, which reminds me of something I discovered today. So while I was looking for shows, okay, I found probably the oldest recording we have of a Cotolo Chronicles show. I mean, this is old. So, and it's the Christmas show, I believe, of 2002. Oh, my God. You're going to hear voices that you would not believe. Because it was a completely different show back then when not a lot of people had the facilities or products or software or hardware to listen to this kind of a show. And I intend this Christmas, all things being equal, or as my mother would say, if God spares, and we're all well and fine to play that show this Christmas. That is going to be a first. And I'll do some explanations about it after, probably the show after that. And that'll be the show that's probably before the Bone Garden this year. With the Artist D. Things we regularly have done over the decade. Decades is plural. But I've never wanted the show to be about me, although here and there, again, I have talked about me and my, but I mean about me personally. Who am I? I've been called this, that, and the other thing. Don't ever call me a don't use legend or hero on me, because it's not true. But I have been a personality who's done other things than this show, and still does other things than this show. And I have been invited on other shows, on regular radio, brick and mortar radio, stream radio, and on other internet and interweb shows. Now, one show called Off the Beaten Path with Lynn, I forget her last name, you'll hear it, was a show where I was interviewed, and it is about me. When I'm interviewed, I don't know if I'm the same person. I am the same person. It's just another side of me. Because I'm not ashamed of anything I've ever done and what things I keep doing, obviously. I hawk them, but I don't go back into the world, worlds I have been in before much. But people have asked a lot about me. They see my presence on the interweb. They read books. They do this. They do that. They see stuff. You know, they search for me and what have you. So this particular section I'm going to play from a show called Off the Beaten Path. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to... I didn't take it out? Well, that's weird. Let me see if I... Did I? I don't know if I took... No, I guess not. I'm going to find it because I should have taken it out. Or making a... where is it? There's... okay, I'm going to find it and talk to you while I'm doing it. It comes from that show, and you're going to hear it. It's going to sound like I'm on the phone, because I was on the phone. I've been on the phone with this lady, Lynn, a wonderful lady, who I hope is still alive and thriving. Where am I? Here's Crannies. So where is it? It's in, I guess it's in promos? No, it would be in, where? Sound Bits? Yeah, it'd be in Sound Bits. Blah, 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 C-O-L-J, where is it here? I-H-I-J-K, here, Off the Beaten Path. It says, wow, it says it doesn't have a date. Well, let me just make a copy of this and put it on my, paste it on my, what's that called? Desktop. So for people who have been writing and saying, why don't you do something more about yourself, your past, who you are, where you are from, you know, and whatever, what have you, and I don't like to do that, but here's an interview that was they saved and kept of a lot of them that I've done, and this one will tell you about me, and it'll be me telling you about me according to what Lynn says, because I'm not just going to sit there and say, well, you know, I was born in 1950 in a rat-infested apartment. And, you know, whatever, I'm not going to. But she'll ask me questions, I'll tell you things, and then we'll come back after this. I'm still here after the Off the Beaten Track. How does that go? I think it's 55, 10, 50. Okay, and we'll still have time for a little bit more. I'm not going to do the other one I was going to do, but I'll tell you about that one, and maybe we'll shove that in the coming weeks. But this has been asked, as I said, this specific thing has not been asked for... But has been, and it's about a has been, that's me, Frank Tolo. My name is the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And from this particular show, Off the Beaten Path, you'll hear about me. Let me get this set up, and then I'll play something that leads us into it. And you won't have to hear the fan in the background. You can't hear it, can't you? Hear that? It's kind of, and that's on low. Why don't you have it put on high? Let's see. Oh, boy. Oh, listen to that. It's like the train start. The train is getting, you know, ready to start.
Come on! Let's get ready!
No, I'm not going to play at your expense. What I'm going to do is play something as a little break, short break, like we do now and then, like we would do on the hour, right? On the Full Out Wednesday. Where is that thing? I think it's called CCCC. Here it is. Yeah. And then I'm going to go right into the show called Off the Beaten Track. So you will hear me. You will hear Lynn. I'm sorry. I forgot her last name. I should have written it down, but I don't take that much time for this show. Then Off the Beaten Path interview with me for those of you who asked me all that stuff. And then I will be back live and we'll talk about other things until the show ends. That's what we do.
The Dole of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Of Off the Beaten Path with your host, Lynn Ward. Today we are thrilled to welcome to our show Frank Cotullo. Frank, welcome.
Hi, this is I hope this is one of the more fun wards I've been in my life. I'd entered the Lynn Ward, right?
Yes, you
have. The Lynn Ward. The last ward I was in, they beat me severely, but...
Well, I'm not going to beat you.
Okay, great.
But you're several states away, so...
Nice to be here, Lynn, in your ward.
Well, thanks for being here, Frank. Thanks very much. And I'd like to introduce you to our listeners.
Okay.
You are none other than a personality, with a capital P, also a musician, author, journalist, humorist, as people will find out very shortly if they don't already know. Songwriter, you've got a long, long list. I mean, you play the piano, the guitar, you sing, you entertain, and you are a horse race handicapper.
Yeah, wow, I'm tired already.
That is quite a list of things.
Yeah, where does the day go, huh?
I don't know. How do you keep up with yourself, Frank?
I don't know.
And you also have, in the past, gone by the name Mars.
Yes, I have. And apparently I still do on satellite radio, where the character has been revitalized. No, it's not revitalized. I guess resurrected.
Resurrected.
No, not even resurrected. I guess just repeated. Yes, I have gone as the by the name Mars. You're right.
So I'm curious if that came about when you were writing for Wolfman Jack, or was that earlier, later? When? How did
no, it came during early on during my association writing for Wolfman Jack.
Okay, so that's when it comes from, huh?
Yes. I mean, there's a story about why it came from that, but, I mean, he called me Mars.
Okay.
Let's just go with that.
All right. Well, how long did you write for Wolfman?
Oh, wow. I wrote for Wolfman for 10, 11, 12, 13 years, something like that. The last 13 or probably about the last 15 years of his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we have a lot of baby boomers listening to the show, and...
Isn't that basically who we are? You talk to many baby boomers, right? You talk to baby boomers.
That's basically who we are. I know I had a note from a friend who said she loved to listen to Wolfman Jack, even though her ma told her not to.
Nah. Well, as you know, we were, I mean, they were doing things today on radio.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, that there's no way we could have done in those days. But Wolfman was, I guess he was the guy who broke the ground on all that kind of naughty stuff. And, in those days, we would get kicked off the kicked off of stations for just insinuating things. And, we used to have to do things with double entendres and stuff because we couldn't say the kind of things they say today and do today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. I mean, in those days, he was considered naughty and dangerous and weird.
And weird, huh? Okay. I find it fascinating that you not only worked with him, but that you did a lot of writing for his show.
I did writing for his show. I did stage plays with him. I did shows with him. I appeared live with him. I did tons of things. We all over the world, in fact. And we had a very good relationship as boss and writer, and boss and employee, and also to a good extent as friends, as close as you can get to anybody with the caliber of personality that a person like that has
mm-hmm.
had. So yes, it's fascinating. Yeah, so it was a wonderful time of my life, and I wish it was better, but I wouldn't. I mean, I wish it wasn't bad, but I wish it was better. You know, as you go through life, you tend. I guess this is the human mind working. I don't know if this is how the human psyche works, but you go through your life and you get older. This is a good thing, considering the theme of your show. And you look back and you tend to try to see the better parts and the best, the gleaming and sparkling moments of even experiences that, of course, had downsides too, because experience is so pure that it's excellent and great. But I guess what I'm saying is I think that's why people write autobiographies. They can even address the bad stuff. But you really look at how important the good stuff is when you get far away from it and as you start to get a little older. So you look back and then you even tend to romanticize it a bit. That's why every autobiography anybody writes when they're older is pretty much a lie.
Well, it's probably a lie all the way through.
No, it's not, and it's beautiful. But I'll tell you, I read a wonderful book recently, and I did to tell anybody anybody would read this book. Oh, geez, I forgot the name of it. But Jerry Lewis wrote a book called I Love Dean or something, or whatever it was, and it's a book that age and maturity writes, and you look and his looking back at the phenomena of what Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis were it's a love letter. I mean, it's a letter. It's just unbelievable. And you can't do that, in the throes of a relationship. You can't even do that 10 years after a relationship, I guess, of that caliber. Man, woman, love, not love, work, business, team, creative, whatever it is. And then, you get a little bit on in years, you could look back, and I think most of what you look back at is just, wow. If I'd have known it was that good, even with the bad stuff, I'd have been, Lord knows what would have happened. But that's the sad quality of life, right, that we always talk about, and you don't know until you get a little older, which is, youth wasted on the young. Am I making myself clearer?
Yes.
Okay.
I
never know when I'm saying, sometimes, I say things and I get into it, and I never really know if, no, I guess I do.
Well, if you're not clear, I'll just call you on it.
Right.
And say,
You do that.
Now explain this better. But, yes, and as you're saying this, I'm wondering if this is part of the nostalgia with baby boomers.
I don't know maybe it is. I guess, I don't know. I could do a whole show on this, and maybe one day I'll do a whole show for myself, and I have brought this up in my life, but, I'm not a very big fan of my own generation, and I'm not. I'm very disappointed in them, so the whole baby boomer thing is weird to me, and I think the nostalgia has two I mean, nostalgia in itself, by definition, is just something that you look back and long for. You know, I used to know that was great, and you know, but it's not something you try to recreate. That's why I don't understand why 40,000 people show up to see Eric Clapton, and they're saying to themselves, "What are they doing? Are they sitting there going like, well, I'm back in the '60s, man?" You know, it's like, what are they doing? Let's move on here, you know. And I think that nostalgia can stick you, can make you get stuck and make you, and it doesn't allow you to open up and see what you have to see, which is everything has changed. A lot of things are dead, buried, and just, you know, blood on the track. So you got to move on, even if you're older. So I try to look back with great fondness, and I tend to, it's okay to romanticize it, but I try not to put it in my life now. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I agree with you on that. I like looking back on it kind of as the love story you were talking about.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then just say, well, thank you, and move on to the present and the future.
Right.
I find it an interesting phenomenon. I also think that baby boomers are not as stuck in that as maybe previous generations were.
I don't know. You know, I can't speak for previous generations. I just know that, you know, the same, there is a similarity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, you know, I listen to what my son is listening to music-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this history of music here, and I tend to want to go to my son and go, now look, I know you like this and stuff like that, but listen to this. This is where it came from. Listen to this. And now, you know, I bring them to other stuff. Which in my case even predates me. But I mean, the point is, I think, and yet I sit down with a baby boomer, not recently, but one, you know, and they were talking about how bad the music is today. Not like when I was young.
Oh.
And I went, well, that's not really fair, is it? Because my father said that. What are you telling me, this guy? I'm going, what are you saying? Now you can, you know, you're looking at 60 and you're saying, well, now the Rolling Stones and all that stuff that went on in the 60s, now that was music. You know, it's like, this stuff is crap. And I'm going, wow, you don't even realize the breadth, with a D, of that statement. So I don't know. I really don't know. I maybe, you know, we're definitely brighter than the generation before us. Well, no, we're not. We're not brighter than the generation before us. The generation before us was the brightest. They just died and became extinct and got morphed into being 60s people. But the beatniks and the whole people in the 50s that really started the movement that the 60s was based upon, those were the smart ones. Those were the ones who had it together. They just couldn't last, because you can't survive knowing the truth for too long, or you'll die. Yeah, so what we do is we block it, you know, we block it with stuff, and we faint, and we walk around, and we, you know, we work it out. But, so that's why the beatnik movement died, and then it became the, you know, whatever happened with the 60s. What the hell happened in the 60s anyway?
You know, I'm not sure.
What the hell was that all about?
I lived in small town America in the 60s.
Okay. I was in the heat of the city. I was in the, you know, I was in the ferro concrete and the,
and the
marching and the, you know, that old crap. Anyway, I stray. Hey, let's not forget that currently, you can hear all this stuff at, let me do a commercial for my show, Cthulhu Chronicles.
Yes.
The only show with a title that is a sentence, Cthulhu Chronicles. A lot of people say, "Is this so? What is this show about you?" It's very rarely about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, although I will bring up experiences to coordinate, but it's not about me. It's me, Cthulhu, chronicling. It's Cthulhu Chronicles. That's present tense, yeah.
And I hadn't gotten that was a sentence. So
yeah, see,
yeah.
Cthulhu Chronicles, unlike the other ones, you know, this Chronicles, the Harry Potter Chronicles. No, it's me chronicling. That's what it is.
And I've listened in on your show, which is interesting to me because of what you say, and heaven only knows where you're going to go with it. It's always creative. But it's also live radio over the Internet.
Yes, although it is rebroadcast, and you can get it as a podcast, it's very popular today, and you can listen to it and download it and do whatever you want with it, it is probably still, I don't know, I mean, there's a lot of live internet radio, but live internet talk is not happening, but it is happening, and every Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time at 9 p.m., you can catch it live.
and it's always a trip.
I hope so. I know sometimes I have better times than others, but we have some great guests, and we do things that nobody else does. In terms of guests, nobody else has the guests that I have. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's such wonderful stuff. And it's, it should be very interesting to baby boomers, too, because I have a lot of children of famous stars, famous people past and stuff on, things like that. So, just check the show and see what goes on. That's all. Anyway,
okay.
It's my commercial.
And we'll tell people again where to find that toward the end of this show.
Okay.
I want to take just a short diversion here, Frank. And, we talk around nostalgia and aging and all that goes on in our minds and how we can't believe our minds frequently. One of the sponsors for our show is Dan McBee, who calls himself the Mind Whisperer. Have you heard of Dan?
No.
Dan was actually attacked and cut severely, like 40 different cuts with a razor.
Ooh.
And was not expected to recover well enough to go back to work. But he recovered quite well, actually. He and his wife have a business now with a product called Pulsar Energy Stabilizers that really work with the mind to help filter out all the chatter so you can get the mind to be calm and quiet, which is...
What is this, an herb?
No, it's...
A drug?
It's actual physical... He has there's a necklace type thing you can wear.
Wow.
And I don't have the website pulled up in front of me to show you exactly what it is. But you can check it out. It's at www.kadance.com.
Okay. You need to give me those letters again. K?
K-A-D-A-N-C-E.
A-N-C-E. Cadence?
Cadence.com.
Okay.
It's just fascinating. The different things that are there.
So you wear a necklace and it calms you down?
You can wear a necklace and it calms you down, and there are some other products with it.
You know, I met a guy who was from a tribe in deep Africa, who said necklaces can give you power if you wear the bones of your enemy.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Anything like this?
No, these are not bones of your enemy. One of the things that he has is an energy filter.
Right.
And some of these are even like whole house or whole office filters you can put in.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go from the small pulsar to a big whole room or whole house pulsar. So.
Well, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it is. And hopefully things like that will help us stay young.
Stay young, is that what it's for, to help us stay young, or is it help us to, you're saying because of energy? You mean it calms you down?
Well, if something calms you down, and if it helps reduce your stress, then you're going to stay younger.
Yes, if it's stress, okay.
Yeah, and then we can all be as young as you, Frank, and have all that kind of energy.
This kind of energy?
Yes.
I think we all do have this kind of energy. I just think that I don't think people want to let it go. See, And I've talked about this on my program. I've even labeled it. It's the neo-postmodernist movement, and that's what I am. I'm a neo-postmodernist. A lot of people say it's a. I did a whole show on this when people were saying that you have ADD, you have ADHD, you have ADDD, or whatever it is. You get all this stuff. And I go, no, it's not. I'm a neo-postmodernist. My life is just a remix of everything. That I have. And like you said, there's so many things I do. There's nothing I don't want to not do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to mix that all into my life. And to some people, that's very scattered. Because, it takes some people a long time to do something. Because I tell you why it takes people a long time to do things. People always say to me, how could you write so much and so quickly? And I went, because I trust what I'm doing. And I can't labor. Labor, laboring is overrated.
Oh, yes.
I mean, how much, the danger is, Neil Simon once said, nothing good is written, everything is rewritten, but everything bad is probably rewritten, because the danger of rewriting is like, when do you let it go? And I think there's too many people who won't let go of things in order to be able to move on. and they could get a lot more done and be a lot more productive. This energy I have is just energy that anybody, that everybody has. But most people are afraid to let it go. I don't think I'm very extra or I'm special or anything. I think people are just stuck. They don't want to let it go. Because you know why? Because if you let this energy go, you're immediately in the area of vulnerability. You will lose people.
Mm-hmm.
You will lose people. You will lose, I mean, there's just a lot of things that won't be able to take it. They find it, they'll find it threatening and upsetting and, you know, all sorts of crap. So, but not me. I've learned my lesson. I'm, you know, I'm a former nervous breakdowner, and I don't think anybody, I don't think people need to go to that extent to learn that they're okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. Drop it. Forget about it. Those, that's my necklace.
Yeah. Well, somewhere in our culture, we got the, some of the Puritan strain that that we're supposed to struggle to prove ourselves, and that life is supposed to be hard, or things are supposed to take a long time. And
that's, well, that's because, you know why? It's because they told us so many lies. This has so much to do with our generation, too, because our generation didn't, you know, they knew they were being told lies. Because not lies per se that people knew what the truth was, but the truths that were supposed to be handed down to our generation, the baby boomer generation, were truths that we went like, that's not true for us. So we're going to find our own truths. And then we went and found our own truths, and they were lies.
Yep.
And they're like, well, so what's the difference, you know? And that's why, you know, and today baby boomers are split into it. Look at how many have become staunchly conservative.
Yes.
I mean, what's that all about?
I don't know.
And I don't even mean but politically. I mean, it's like, well, you've closed your mind. You've put you know, you've put walls up. Okay, if people are comfortable that way, that's fine. I'm not here to judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that that just means you're still grasping for something. There's nothing to grasp for. Life is a free fall, and that's dangerous and frightening, you know. So I think that, you know, as for me, our generation other day, different than the generation before that, you know, the whole, whatever it was, so with us, it was what? There was peace, love, and this, that, and the other. None of it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
None of it worked out. And if any of that stuff worked out, why would we be in Iraq? Aren't we running the world now? What happened?
I don't think anybody has a reasonable answer for that, but...
You know, it's like, well, you know, it's like, well, you know, hey, he was, you know, a rich baby boomer became president, not the, you know, and then what, before that, a poor baby boomer was president. It doesn't matter. What does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, politics is what politics is. Is that going to change? And all that stuff. So that's what I'm saying in terms of, you know, what we, wherever this started, you started this.
No.
Now you finish. No, you know what I mean. So all these things, like this, the energy, just has to do with the energy. You know, you got it. It's in you. It's there. Just let it loose. Just let it loose. See what happens. That can hurt anyone.
Well, one of the points you brought up was vulnerability. And there is vulnerability with energy, and there's vulnerability with creativity. I mean, what you and Wolfman did.
Mm-hmm.
You were vulnerable. You just didn't care. But
well, we were vulnerable. Yeah, but you know what we did? I'll tell you what we did. We took the shots.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. You know, the first man who puts his head up above the crowd is the first guy who's going to get shot at, right?
Right.
Well, you know, get shot at. Doesn't mean that just because they shoot won't mean they hit you. Listen, let me tell everybody and you something I've said, and this is a... this is how I live my life. You want to hear it? It's very simple. It's a little story.
Okay, tell it.
I'm in a cabin. Now, you could be anywhere. You could make this yours, too. I'm in a cabin, and that's only because I have this thing about Robert Service and the Yukon, and I love, I love that whole scenario, okay? But that's it. I'm in the cabin. So you just imagine, you can imagine the picture, you know, what we look like. I'm in a cabin, one of those log cabins up in the Great North, the Great White North, and I'm in a corner of the cabin on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and there's no window next to me from the left or the right,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I'm standing there, and in front of me is the door outside is blocked by 4, 5, 6, a number of men, okay?
All right.
They all have revolvers, rifles, shotguns,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, and they're all pointing at me. There's no way out of this. I'm in the corner. It looks like, remember, this is how the story is. This is where I am. This looks like there's no way out of this. Mm-hmm. They all cock their guns, and they aim it at me. Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, how can I benefit from this situation?
Mm-hmm.
It's the way I run my life. You see what I'm saying? How? That's the thought. Now, if that was the last thought, I don't know whether they shoot. I don't know whether I get out. It's the lady and the tiger. I have no idea. But the point is, this. Everybody's doing everything, a life, your standards, your religion, your philosophy, your marriage, your relationships, everybody's got the gun pointed at you. And they're all ready to just blow you away. And all you have to do is say, well, how do I benefit from this, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds selfish, but anyway, that's the way I live my life now.
I like the question. Now, you had me in the cabin because my first 8 years I lived in a log cabin.
See? And you ate a lot of pancakes, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Pancakes and waffles.
There's a log cabin connection.
And homemade bread, well.
You see how my mind works?
Not that kind. We had real honey, but... And, yeah, and homemade bread cooked on a wood stove, but we didn't have revolvers.
Right, right.
That comes later in life.
Hopefully. Isn't it amazing? I don't know about you, but I'm still amazed at how many people I've already outlived from my own generation.
Oh.
It bothers me, but at the same time, you know, it's amazing, but I guess that's life. We just have to move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that we have outlived so many, and yet we have such a long potential lifespan.
That's what they say.
Yeah. So,
it wasn't long enough for a lot of the people I know who died, but that's okay with me. You know, I got a great thought a couple of weeks ago. At least I thought it was a great thought. It helped me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of being a baby boomer.
Yeah.
Being this age. I sat down and I suddenly, something happened, or I don't know what it was, but it came to my attention that I was 57 years old. And I sat and I said, holy crap. I'm old enough to be my father.
Yes.
And I told that to someone else who was a baby boomer, and he said, do you have any idea how profound that is? And I said, hey, I got some idea, yeah.
Mm.
That's amazing. You know, we ever think we would be here? Did we ever think we would be this age? Did we ever think we could be our fathers? Anyway.
I don't think we could ever imagine it.
Yeah.
I still can't. I am... What? I'm 5 months away from being 60.
Right, and what does it mean now? It doesn't mean what you thought it meant, right?
No, it doesn't.
What the hell's going on, anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, well, last year, I guess, I wrote a little 60-day workbook called Thinking Yourself Young.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that I wrote it, well, there were multiple reasons, one of which is I see so many people thinking themselves old instead of just enjoying life. They start making excuses. Oh, I can't because I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
And old means 30, 40, 50. My 30-year-old son and a friend he went to college with were showing my daughter and me around. And they're sitting in the front seat of the car, and they're just going, well, at my age, I can't do what I did when I was in college.
Wow.
And my daughter looked at me and she says, Mom, you are so much younger than they are.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I wrote this workbook, 60 days of just simple little retraining your attitude, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no reason for us to think ourselves old, and it's very simple.
Well, you know, I know what you mean by old, because that's like you're thinking the old, the interpretation of how you interpret.
Yes.
Old, can't do. But, you know, I think that halfway, I think you really got to split the difference. I think you got to really, really be aware that you are not 37, 27, or 47. I mean, you got to be aware of being that far away from that. And also be aware of, like, there are things I can't do that I used to do. You know, there are other things that I do much better, because that's the curse of life, right? Youth wasted on the young, as I said.
Oh, yes.
So now, I think that you need to be aware of who you are, where you are, and how old you are, and everything like that. And at the same time, but then that, I think that if you can do that, Okay, if you could say to yourself, hey, I'm 57, I feel pretty damn good. What you're doing is being young right there. That's being young. Being. Current. Mm-hmm. Now. That's what I mean, you know. It's not like, I'm old, I got insurance policies, I got kids, I got no more hair, and I wear shorts, and I like golf, I better go see Eric Clapton and feel young. That don't work.
No, that doesn't work.
All that does is $140, for God's sake. Eric Clapton should be paying you to see him, you know? What are you doing? You're putting out $140 to go see this, you know, but come on. And I use Eric Clapton, but I mean, it could be Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, even worse. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, you know, get it. And I don't understand how, and look at these guys. Look at these people who were our, who we looked up to. And all the, you know, look at all the musicians and the stars and the celebrities from those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all full of baloney, too. And what's happened then? What are they doing? They're still walking around going, look at me, look at me. Look at, it's like, hey, like this Rolling Stones. Go home already, Rolling Stones. Go home. Stop it. Stop standing there like dopes.
I'm sorry, was it Mick Jagger? It was at a Super Bowl game a year or two ago.
Yeah, they played the Super Bowl.
And performing on stage and up there waving his arms around. Well, you know, I got what some people call these storybook arms.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you may not have, but it's worse in women how their upper arms get flabby.
Yeah, I know that.
He's up there waving his arms around, and I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, wear long sleeves next time.
I can't imagine what that, I mean, I can't even find the motivation. They have to play in front of people because they have to be the Rolling Stones? I don't get it. I don't understand it anymore. I don't understand. What are they doing? They don't need the money. Doing it in the middle of the Super Bowl, because that's where more people will see you. You know, even Paul McCartney played the Super Bowl. It's like, why? What are you doing? What is this all about? I don't get these guys. And I knew a lot of them, and I've been around a lot of them all my life. But I'm just saying this in terms of like, oh, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, it's funny, I feel like I haven't, I've grown old, but I haven't grown up.
Oh, well, I hope we don't grow up.
You know, and these guys are like, they're not, they don't know they've grown old.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Well, and growing old, I mean, there's so many different ways that we can define that. Because I think we can stay very young at heart and exploring the world and excited about life. But I guess there are times you may want to quit flaunting your body or something.
Right.
Well, Frank, something we've never talked about before that I want you to tell us about is your music, where you play and sing, where somebody can find your music.
Well, you know, I don't really do a lot of promotion about my music. I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm at a number of places. I think here's the deal. You can just Google my name, and you'll find all sorts of junk and all sorts of places to go. Just Google my name or Yahoo my name or Excite my name or wherever you use, and as opposed to me saying there's one specific place, because I'm just all over the place, and I just use the net because here and there to put it in there. Now, I think I've had some success in my life as a professional musician, as a professional composer and stuff. Here and there I've done stuff. But, I mean, even the music, I don't know. I don't it's all fun now. It's all just for fun and to do whatever the heck I want to do and do it, and it's just another channel, just another avenue that I can walk down, because I can still walk down there. But I hold no promise for it, you know, or anything like that. And I do play, when I play locally, and I like playing, I play for old people a lot. I mean really old people in old homes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with an itinerary of classic songs. I never do my own songs. It's just stupid to me to do my own songs. It's just, it means nothing to anyone. But when you sit and you do, you know, songs that are, and I'm the, you know, that are classics, then people look at you and they do what you got to do. And when I do a show like an old for old people, or I also do a show I do some shows at a local coffee shop, and it's pretty much me and them. I mean, I make it interactive. I don't just sit there. I hate being wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is ego, yeah, but I think that people have a lot more fun when I bring them into the show and we have fun and we talk and we sing songs and we make up songs and do all sorts of junk like that. I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. That's my slogan, you know. So I just do what I got to do, and you never know what I'm going to do. I never know what I'm going to do. I show up, I bring a guitar, a harmonica, and a whole bunch of songs, and I sit down and see how everybody's feeling and see who's there and do what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And then I do songs, you know. I mean, I just, mm-hmm. And that's really what happens. And I think if you're in town, if you're anywhere in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and you go over to St. Thomas Roasters, on a couple of Fridays a month, I'm there shaking the house down. Yeah, that's where I am. I don't go far from home right now. That's it. That's my music. That's my thing. You might have even heard my music if you've heard, you know, there have been things here and there. But like I said, I don't take it particularly seriously. Well, then again, what do I? You know what they say? Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. Don't you love those things?
Oh, yes.
The Zen koan. The highest you can jump is the lowest you can go. I love all those things, right? The wider you smile, the more you cry. I don't know. Yeah, it's like over and over. What do any of these things mean, anyway?
I don't know. And for each one you read, you can find an exact opposite.
Right, right.
Which is fun to play around with those sometimes.
So that's it. For the music stuff. And you know, once in a while, I'll play some music on my show. Mm-hmm. I'll just pick up a guitar and start singing stuff. And we do all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even done concerts on the air. I've actually done, stuff. And most of the time, like I said, I do other people's songs and stuff. And I enjoy taking something. Here's two things I enjoy a lot. Taking something, this is part of being a neo-postmodernist and remixing your life with everything that you are. I enjoy taking other people's songs and making them mine. That's the whole idea behind a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Performing it, stylizing it, just making it yours, right? And the other thing I really love to do is I get great enjoyment about putting nothing where something once was.
Putting nothing. Okay, say a little more about that.
I enjoy putting nothing where something which once was is a practice that anyone can do, really, and that is where something, whatever something is, it's probably cherished, important, and it's revered, and it's your value, it's values, it's whatever it is, okay? It's what the masses like. That's what something is. That's whether it's your religion, the way you see things, the music you hear. Everybody takes things very personal. Everybody takes things very personal. I enjoy taking that something and putting nothing there. In other words, I like dismantling and deconstructing that which everyone feels is more important than the actual experience of living, you see. Because I think all those some things that we have, hold and cherish, most of them just weigh us down and make mm-hmm. our lives miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put nothing there, you're free. You're free, you know.
Yeah.
And when you're free, you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it. And, of course, there's a price to pay for being free.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a price to pay in terms of all the stuff that you call something, you know, that you give value to. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you shouldn't have values and stuff like that. I'm just saying that you should be very careful about them because they can take you over. And then you're no longer free. And if you're tied down, and that's why you wonder. That's why people run away from marriages and lives and businesses. And that's why people they get it's so crazy. And out that mother down in Texas that she puts her kids in a car and drives them into the water?
Yeah.
What is that all about? You can't even explain that clinically. This person was not free.
No.
I don't mean to say it can always be that dramatic, because you know what? Things explode, or they just, you know, they burn down quietly and
mm-hmm.
corrode
mm-hmm.
slowly. So I think putting nothing where something once was is just even questioning everything about what you do and just not taking it all so seriously. I don't care if it's God, the devil, or the deep blue sea, because it just doesn't matter. And because people hang on to those things, I believe. I don't believe anything. Belief is not even a word. I don't even have a belief. You know what I'm saying? I think that just being completely free also helps you not be able to judge, and it also makes you be able to understand what you judge. So that's it. So that's what I enjoy doing. I enjoy putting nothing where something once was. And I've done that with myself, and I think everyone should try it. And if it's too scary, take a pill and sit back and go back to your life. I don't care. Why should I care? I can't run everybody's life. I've had enough time running my own life. You know, a guy said to me today, guy called, I was talking to some friend of mine, and he was talking about, he was saying, like, well, you know what happened? In a past life, this happened and that happened. You came back here. And now what you have to do is this, that, and the other thing. And then if you don't, you'll go into another life. I said, Jesus. I said, hold on a second. I said, I'm having a high enough time trying to establish what this life is. I'm supposed to start thinking about lives I might have had, and I'm going to have. Not too much work. Labor is overestimated.
One at a time is enough to deal with.
Yes, and that goes for every minute and every hour, too, if you really think about it. Now, I know that sounds trite. But by golly, I'm a trite guy.
Oh.
By golly, I'm trite, and I'm proud of it.
Oh, well, you should have a T-shirt like that.
Well, you know what? Every once in a while, you know what I love to do? I love to watch. You ever see the movie Patton?
Yes.
George C. Scott?
Mm-hmm.
This is great. You know, he's looking over the battlefield, and there's horror there. There's people killed, and it's the great trial of mankind, and all this stuff, to smell the blood, you smell the bones, you see everything. And he stands there, and he says, God help me, but I love it so. You know, and I'm saying to myself, you know, I heard that. When I was nine, they told me things Jesus said. I said, and here I am, 57, and I understand Patton. Patton, that's like Jesus talking. I understand that. Really get it. I got it. You know, and I'm not a general, couldn't be a warmonger, nothing, but I get it, you know. I understand what he's talking to me. But, you know, anyone else would say it with him. But you look at that and you go, what do you mean? How did you talk about Patton and Jesus in the same sentence? What the hell's wrong with you? You know, a long time ago there was a great TV series about Jesus called Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Powell, the name of the man who played Jesus. And I'm sorry, they said he's like the best possible Jesus I've ever seen. I mean, portrayal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a series. I think they run it every Easter on one of these channels, okay? If you ever get a chance to see it. The guy's name is Robert Powell. It was the beginning and the end of his career as an actor. But the point is, he was great. One day, in my travels, I'm in London. I'm at this party. And there have been all these people around her, you know, they're all big time, you know, entertainment people and guys and agents and things like that. And someone says to me, I said, who's that? Or, you know, who's that? They said, you want to meet Robert Powell? And I went, you mean the Jesus? You went, yeah, of course. I said, you know, I want to meet Jesus. And my expectation of the guy, just because I replayed Jesus, you know, is going to be this guy. He's going to radiate every bit as he did on the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they bring him over, and I'm like, where is he? And I have to look down. And I'm not that tall. Oh, Mr. Powell, how are you? And I'm talking to him, but in my mind I'm going, the guy's a shrimp. He's not, I mean, it's like, Jesus, how did they get this guy to play Jesus? And then I learned later on, you know, that they, you know, the way they shot it a certain way so that he looked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All those just camera angle tricks and stuff, so that he didn't look like he was as short as he was. I'm like, wow. I mean, I was just like so amazed. I never got over that. Like, well, I guess, you know what? Then I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If I went back in time, if I could go back in time and they introduced me to Jesus, I wonder if it would be similar. What, Jesus? It's like, oh, my goodness, was I wrong? What was I thinking? What did they tell me? Not what was I, you know, what did they tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Everything they told me. Lie. This is the truth. This is a lie. This is the truth. This is a lie. It's like, you know. It's crazy. It's, you know, and I'm sitting there going, well, I'm going to listen to Patton then. He's speaking to me. Because, you know, George G. Scott probably looks a lot more like Patton than anybody who played Jesus did. No less what they tell us. How do we know? I'm straying now, Lynn. Stop.
Well,
doing a show. I'm going to go, this is what my show is like, you know? I mean, you never know where it's going. I'm just going there.
Yeah, I told a friend of mine I was going to be interviewing you, and I said, you know, what questions would you like me to ask? And he looked at me very seriously, and he says, well, I don't know, but, you know, your biggest challenge is just to keep him talking. I said, no, that is no challenge.
No challenge whatsoever.
I'm not worried about that one.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right, because I just opened the valve.
Well, you do. You open the valve, and all sorts of creativity comes out. So.
Well, you know, call it what you will. Thank you if it's a compliment.
Well, it is a compliment, so you can say thank you. And I do have a couple more questions that I want to ask you, but
I'll try to make my answers brief within the time frame. Okay, go.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to go back to the mind whisperer a little bit.
Okay.
And just this stuff that Dan does comes with a lifetime guarantee. But what he talks about is your mind. I'm going back to your mind again. But your mind going, you know, you can't. From childhood it goes, oh, you can't do this. You can't fly. You have to believe this. You know, you have to believe this. You can't believe this other stuff. You can't win. You can't do it. We just have this chatter that goes there all the time. And some of us don't break out of it well at all. It sounds like, Frank, that you broke out of it more and better than a lot of people did.
Broke out of what did I break out of?
That mind chatter that goes, you can't.
Oh, no, I haven't at all. I just respect it.
Oh.
I care for it, and I allow it to express itself. Because you know what? The mind chatter, if you let it go, it stops. Fighting it doesn't do anything. Right? It's like fighting pain. If you get into pain, suddenly it's not as painful.
That's true, yeah.
It's the fighting of things that probably causes all the pain. That's the conflict. So I just let the chatter go, and it doesn't really... But meditating is a good thing, so it's good to quiet yourself.
Yeah, some people can't quiet themselves, it seems like, and some people have trouble letting it go, and that's where...
That's true.
That's where a product like Dan's Energy Stabilizers could be helpful. So I just wanted to bring that back up again and bring up the website again, which is www.cadence, spelled KADANCE.com, for people who have trouble letting things go and who do want to quiet their mind. So for a couple more questions, Frank, it's one of the interesting things that I got from just scanning some information about your life online and from having talked to you before is that you have lived what I see some people of our generation having lived, which is the non-traditional career path, for lack of a better word.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't think previous generations had much of an example of this.
Well, I guess, the bohemian, I guess, what did they call them? They used to call them bohemians.
Yes.
You know, whatever they were. But there were always people who were doing things, non-traditionally and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There were, even in the 20s.
Yes, there were, but probably not in the numbers or as mainstream as for our generation.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know a lot of people like me. Do you?
Well, no.
Not why I'm so lonely. No, it's not true. I don't want to know anybody like me. In fact, sometimes I get mad. Because I leave the room, and I go with me. I'd like to leave myself behind once in a while, yeah.
Oh, I can relate to that feeling.
Yeah. But, but yes, I have. I believe it's been unorthodox, to say the least. And what about, so?
Well, I just find it fascinating that it is both somewhat different, but in the big picture, there are an awful lot of other people from our generation who have lived the non-traditional lives, too, and we're kind of finding our way as we go.
Hmm. Well, I'd like more of those people should be in touch with me, then, because I don't know. I really don't know anyone. I think that the bulk of our generation just sold out and went the regular way. I mean, maybe not sold out. Maybe that's too judgmental. I mean, they had no other way to go, and that they didn't have any other way to go. Because the 60s were, for all the purposes, a lie. And so there was nowhere to go. They still had to go to work. They still had, nothing changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music didn't free us. The people didn't free us. The hippies didn't free us. The movements didn't free us. You know, we had to find another way to become, to get free. You know, so I don't know where these people are. Don't they all, look, we're 50-something years old. Who's running the government? Who's running the state governments, the local governments? Who's running the post office? Who fixes your washer, your dryer? Who comes over? Who's the plumber? Aren't these all our generation now? They're all normal people, aren't they?
Most of them are, yeah.
That's what I mean. So they just went ahead and they're doing what they, look, it's okay. There has to be plumbers. I mean, if everybody, you know, if the 60s worked, this whole America, everything would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it. What are we all going to do? We're all going to be creative artists and run through the street, but no one will be here to fix our toilet?
Well, you can be creative and do that at the same time.
I guess.
But anyway.
I don't know if they can do that.
That would make an interesting survey question.
Yeah, it would.
As to whether we sold out or even what that would mean.
Yeah, but I do feel like a freak.
Oh, you
do? In the way that you're talking, because I don't know. I don't know anybody like me. What's that great line in the Paul Simon song? Don't know. Don't have a friend. Don't have a chump. That don't have a friend. That's not at ease. No, that isn't at ease. Oh God, I can't even quote him. It's a great line from a song called An American Tune. But it's a great line, and he said it back then. 70s, I think early 70s, but it's a great line to understand our generation.
When you find it, email it to me.
Yeah, don't have a friend. That's not.
When we hang up, we'll probably both remember it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going blank on it. So, well, Frank, I have one last question.
Yeah.
What up to this point has surprised you most about your life?
What has surprised me most about my life?
Yes.
That there is so little unconditional love. being a baby boomer and going through the whole love deal and everything and the love, and it all turned out to be conditional. It's the greatest, most incredible surprise of my life. That with all the religion, with all the youth, with all the minds that are supposed to be free, with all the music, with all the culture, it's still grab it, hold it, give it to me. Here's what I need. You better have it. You better give it to me. And that's the greatest surprise of my life. I really thought that along the line, you would be able to just say, you know, it is. It truly is freeing. It truly is unconditional. But it's not. And that's the greatest surprise of my life. I got serious, didn't I?
You got very serious.
But even that, what do I do? He goes, that's it, but that's okay. But it's the dynamic. It's the dynamic. Serious? And now I could, move on. But that's it. That's the great thing. That's the thing in my life. Don't forget, Cthulhu Chronicles is Thursday nights live. Live on the internet, and I'm the man who created. You know, today the biggest, most popular, and it's even getting bigger, format on radio is called Free Talk FM. Okay.
Oh,
and you're looking at the man who created it, because I was doing this on the internet while they were still trying to format music and everything on the radio, and now, so don't be surprised if one of these days you hear me on your real radio. Because I don't mind getting paid for this crap.
Oh, well, you should.
So if I go back and they say, hey, it's him, Frank Cthulhu, you'll be hearing me. In the meantime, you can hear me on the internet in alternative broadcasting, as you're doing.
Yes. And I see that you had written you're the you are alternative broadcasting's veteran now.
That's me.
And you've kind of been paving the way for the rest of us.
I hope so, because that's why it's all changing. I've been here a long time, and as I tell everybody to keep doing what the Incredible Shrinking Man did in the movie The Incredible Shrinking Man. Everybody should see this. This is better than seeing King of Kings or anything. You got to see The Incredible Shrinking Man. This movie from the 50s, and at the end, when he gets so small he thinks he's going to disappear, and his great. Epiphany is you can never get too small that you disappear. You can never disappear. And so the final words of that are, of course, him shouting out, I'm still here. And I tell everybody, I say, go out on your lawn, go out in the middle of the street once a day, once a week. Just do it. Just go out there, put your hands up, and scream it out. I'm still here. It's important.
I heard you say that the other night.
There you go.
I didn't know where it came from.
There it is.
So we are still here.
Yes. And I'll come back anytime you want.
Well, I would
love
to come back because I just love talking with you.
Hey, great. I love being talked to.
And you could add a philosopher.
Yeah, I guess so. Sure.
You get another 20 or 30 years on you, you can add wise old man or something.
Yeah, I could put, yeah, right. I could. It's amazing the things I can put on my, I'm going to have to get a bigger calling card, though, because there's still so many things on there that you can't fit it in your wallet.
Well, that's true. You get one of these fold-over.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of cards. Well, Frank, it was just a real treat to have you on today.
Ben, I appreciate it, and as I said, anytime you want to talk about anything, even if it's something specific, you know, I'll start there. Lord knows where I'll finish, but we could start there. And good luck with the program, and as I said, I'll tell everybody, give me all of the incidentals, I'll tell everybody where to go and get it and what to do, and you're on. We'll try to build you up an audience, too.
Well, thanks. I will send you the links and the blog and everything when it's up. And I want to remind people that they can just Google you, Cotolo Chronicles.
CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. That's my blog. Or just go, just Frank Cotolo. Just Google.
Yes,
Frank
Google.
Cotolo.
And that your show is from the serious to totally off the wall. You never know where it's going to go, but it's always a fun trip.
It runs the gamut and the gauntlet at the same time.
Absolutely. So, Frank, thanks a lot.
Thank you, dear.
It is almost lunchtime in Brisbane. Good afternoon, Australasia. Welcome back. It's me, Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. It's literally almost midnight where I'm recording this. And doing it live, of course, I'm recording it at the same time so that you can hear it. How do they play those instruments, huh? I'm starving, by the way. I'm really hungry. Uh-oh, there goes part of my shirt. Where else are we? Hello, Brisbane. I keep saying Brisbane. It's like, is that the only place I remember in Australasia? Where else are we? Christian. There's something with Christian. Christianville? Is it Christianville? I should know. That's where they're listening to me at. Franksky. I had borscht, real borscht, made by somebody who learned to cook it in Russia. This is such a great piece, isn't it? If they only lived in Russia with this spirit. Oh, the spirit of this tune, huh? What a different world would this be? So it's almost lunchtime in Moscow. The sandwiches that they like there, I don't know. Good friend of mine who has passed away. Went to Russia a few times and told me that his name was John. He's a wonderful guy. I worked with him. I edited some things he did. look, let me just get to the point of what he said. John was in Russia, and he said, whoa, the woman, the woman. I went, really? And he brought back photos of women on the streets. And he always, because their shapes, he was woman watching, girl watching, as they used to call it. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now. So they watch. And he brought back these photos that were unbelievable. And I don't know why there were so many on the streets of Moscow. What's the other place? Leningrad? Also, when Dr. Waldor was on the show, he talked about getting lost in Russia. Remember that? We could find that show somewhere. Many shows. So there's a bit about me, and some of it has not changed. I guess I still have some of those opinions. I didn't realize that was, wow, 11 years ago. Her name is Lynn Ward. I don't know what ever happened to Lynn Ward. I know what happened to us in this internet radio theater. Because back then, it was the internet wasn't so commercial. It wasn't so invaded by mainstream media, which is then there's a whole different definition to that, huh? Mainstream media, brick and mortar. What else do we call it? Do we call it brick and mortar, mainstream? I don't know, mainstream, not mainstream media, doesn't matter. That's more demographically defined. It's just, regular broadcasting and regular. Well, all what a vocabulary you have, Ms. Cattolo, to come up with a word like regular. Fantastic. But this was, so good morning, Moscow. Maybe I'm going to find out. Maybe I'll take a couple of moments when I don't have anything else to do and just see what the time difference is. And then the next time I'm on alone, I will do intros. I think that would be a great way to start the show. I got this idea now, and I'm going to keep it. Here's the idea. I'm going to write it down. And that is to begin the show, I'm going to have an introduction to the show from all addressing the different time zones. So, for instance, how about an inch long? Well, I have to say long. Of course, it's going to be done. Intros. Two CCs, it's Cattolo Chronicles, I have a CC, okay. For each time zone, that could listen, in a live stream, right, in a live stream. As I did here partially. So there's like Australasia and there's a Soviet Union. Where are you going? I guess you just call it Russia. And I should add plus other places. And again, there's an idea. That'd be a fun way to open it. That way we address everybody. We address all the different areas of the world who would be listening if they connect live, because it can happen. By the way, if you haven't heard this enough, my name is Frank Cattolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show. If you're listening on the live stream, I believe, I think, Tom Savino's Savino Veritas will be on right after this show. And I really don't have time to go into the other show that was requested, but we have plenty of time to do that through the rest of 2018. As long as we're not stifled or we have to hit reruns because it's too hot here, and as long as the machine, it wasn't just the weather, but this year has just been brutal when it comes to the technical side of things. So we've had tons of problems with the motherboard and the digits and the zeros and ones and all the programs, and we've just had a lot of trouble. So there are not that many shows in Y2K plus 18 as there were in other years. And of course, as I mentioned, Christmas, I'll do the promo for the Christmas show in the dead of this heat. Huh? I mean, that 2000, I believe it's 2002. I think I looked it up before. I will find out later, some other time. We got plenty of time to worry about that. And when, I mean, now that's a phrase. It's, we don't worry about it because we don't do a lot of work to get this show to you. Unlike other shows. You know, Savino Veritas, which originates from SRN Media Works also, live, is a carefully planned and scripted show, even though it has its spontaneous moments, but Tom Savino really delivers a, I was going to use that word, but I don't want to use that word. In fact, pastiche. It's not pastiche. There's no such thing as pastiche. Then that sounds like a, what is that? A Polish mustache. It's a crumb pastiche you have there. It's a cavalcade of sounds and satire. Ooh, I like that. Cavalcade of sounds and satire. Savino Veritas. I went into character there. The books, again, those of you, T. Stephen Gessick, those of you Mindhunter fans, what is that even about? I think it's about detectives who use psychic something. Yeah, because obviously they would, if they're detectives, they're going to use their mind to hunt down clues and stuff. So it's not just like a smart-ass word for detective. It's mind hunter, is because they hunt with their minds. So I guess there's something psychic involved there. Let's ask Marla Martinson. Let's get Marla on the phone. No, we won't do that now either. What we will do is tell you that you go to blurb.com. Blurb.com. And you could digitally buy those books. The Molotov memoir books. Both of them designed with artwork by T. Stephen Gessick, who's now the art director of a very popular show now in its 29th season. I don't know what season it's in. Those shows go on for a long time, and then people binge on them. How do you binge on? You know, there's not a show that I like or liked enough to say, I'm going to sit and watch three seasons of the show. It can't happen with me. And I don't know if that's because I'm, my mind moves too quickly, or because I'm, you know, like anti-meditative. I live in that energy. I don't know. I have no idea, and I don't ask for it, but I can't sit still. You know, I can't watch a movie, and this might have something to do with age. It may have something to do with age and a subconscious that is partially a conscious thought that I'm wasting time. And why would you want to waste time when you are older and feel like you know you only have so much time left? Of course, that is always the case philosophically. Lynn Ward was right. You can add philosopher to that resume. Because ultimately, our time is our time. We don't know. We only all have a certain amount of time. We just don't know how much time. So if you're 19, I hope you live to be 119. But you don't know when you're 19 how much time you have. So you still only have a certain amount of time. And a certain amount of time, there is no measurement to that. A certain amount of time could be 24 years. A certain amount of time could be 20 minutes. That is a certain amount of time. Because by definition. A certain. What's making it certain? But it's an uncertain amount of time that we have left in our lives. Right? An uncertain amount of time. I'll tell you something that's concerning me right now in terms of time though, if we're gonna be existential, because as I said, I don't see Tom Savino on the Skype yet, so I'm a little concerned that I'm not, that I'm pushing him on to, and he's not gonna be here, but he is gonna be here, because he usually tells me when he's not gonna be here. And I know that when I'm not here, I tell them I can't be here because of this, that, and the other thing. And then some people think I am here because they put on a rerun. In that event, when is it? How do I say it? How can I forget, trademark? Trademark? No. My name is Frank Atoll, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Next week is the 19th, and I believe that Olympia Lapointe will be here. And during this show, or during this span of this show in 2018. I promise I'm going to get some other people that I promised I'm going to get on again, because I know a lot of you people enjoy those people. I've been in touch with Dr. Popoli, and he's just having some lifestyle changes and stuff, so he'll be back on. I'm going to get in touch with Dr. Waldar, Professor Dr. Waldar. We have doctor. You know, when they say doctor, even though professor is, you know, when they say doctor, you think of, I think of stethoscopes and because I, and you know, anal thermometers, they don't use those anymore. Everything is digital. I can't believe that when I was a kid, I hate that when the doctor came up, when doctors had house calls then. And the one thing I hated was, oh boy, he's going to take out the rectal thermometer. Why, you know, what's wrong with my mouth? By the way, that is the name of my newest book, What's Wrong With My Mouth? By Frank Cotolo, and that'll be coming out very shortly, if not longer than that. So you go to get the Molotov Memoir books if you live anywhere near Pittsburgh. Find out where they're shooting this, and maybe I'll find out for you and tell you. Go buy the book. I know it's a bit costly if you buy the hardcover, because that's the way things are these days. But if you get it, you could find Stephen Gessick and have him autograph it. That at least, you know, that is going to, I say, 10 times the value of the book. Believe me, because you get these books now cheap, especially the digital ones. I'm not telling you why, but it is a very big possibility. These books are not going to be there anymore, any longer. Or they may be in another form, or you may have to pay more for them. So now's the time to get on the Cotolo wagon. That doesn't work, does it? The Cotolo wagon? And I'm starving. I've lost some weight, and my doctor said, you think you could lose a couple of pounds? Because it's true, I was getting out of hand. It was getting out of hand. I could get down apple pies and like that. And not that I was like, you know, bulbous. I wasn't. You could always become bulbous. That's the name of the book I'm working on right now. Frank Cotolo's You Can Always Become Bulbous. And, boy, I got a lot of work to do. There's a couple of more titles I got to get into. And there's a mail. There's somebody mailing me saying, yeah, I want that book. Oh, God, it's that other thing. Whew. Wow, that is weird. I've done a show on that, too, I think. We've done so many shows. It's hard to go back. If you think of a topic that, and you don't know we did a show on that topic, write to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com, and say, if you ever did a Cotolo Chronicles about this, please find it and rerun that show. Not the entire show, but, you know, inside of a real live show. Pardon me, miss, but I've never done this with a real live show. And I'll find it. If you know we've done a show like the one we did on Bengal tigers and and you know if there are anymore, like the show we did on soccer moms, or if you remember guests and say, hey, you had a show once with this guy. Remember we did the one from the guy, the Academy Award winner from the original Planet of the Apes. Now, look at this. We've gone through reboots. This show has lasted through rabbits? What's a rabbit? Rabbit. It's a frog. Rabbit. Rabbit, right? Rabbit? Rabbit. Where'd they get that sound from, the sound of a frog? They got that word from the sound of a frog. Amazing how these things happen. There's not enough lifetimes for me to investigate and discover, no less maintain, the amount of information I would like to. I'm still working on the seven times table. 7, 14, 21, oh, yes, 35, and then I gotta start counting with my fingers. What can I tell you? This is what it is that way. I didn't want to end, but it is. Because I'm trying to speak well. Speak well. And, oh man, I got the intro, I got that thing going on. And, who else is coming? The, Joy Lansing's Last Lover. That'll be on one of these weeks. An old Irvin Zucker will get me guests left and right because I don't look for them. And they find me. Irvin Zucker, wherever you are tonight. The man who said to me, he said to me when I was on the phone, he said he was, 4th of July was coming up, he said, I'm celebrating the 4th or the 5th. Da-da-dum. My kind of guy. Good night, Moscow. Good afternoon, Moscow, and good night, Australia, I guess, because we're heading out. I don't see Tom Savino, so maybe he's not here. Maybe he's not. Well, you know, I'll give him the go anyway, and if he's on, you'll hear him. If not, you'll hear nothing live on the live stream. If not, if you're listening on the rebroadcast stream, you'll hear whatever's going to be on after this show on the local station, local, on the other station. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Cotolo Chronicles, and thank you for being here with us on this particular time of the show that we do it. Yeah, look, I don't see him. Well, aha, there he goes. He's going to be here, my friends. He just got to his microphone. For those of you listening on the live stream, he's coming up. In the meantime, in between time, as I said, go buy the books. Go to Mindhunter and look for T. Stephen Gesick or write to them or whatever it is you need to do. Do it and buy my books. Buy my books and buy the other books. I forgot the name of Charles Dennis's book. Rational Dashiell. I just don't know what's happening to myself. It's my hunger. It's the hunger I have. I'm starving. I have to eat something soon. I haven't eaten in so long, but I'm doing well. I'm feeling well. I'm shedding the pounds and all that. It's just looking good. So you know, all things being equal, we'll be back with maybe with Olympia Lapointe and other stuff next time. I think that's the 19th or whatever is going on. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. As you know, I do a lot of things, and they're all done. So, including this show, we'll try to be back again. Keep listening. Go to the blog, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Go to 148.ca/Frank. There's funny stuff there, too. You could just have a good time when you hear the name and investigate Cotolo. Good night, this is Archwile, wherever you may be located. Me. I'm leaving you now. For now. Cause what? I have nothing more to say.